Damn!
Back up into his house. Welcome back to another episode of the Freedom Train podcast series. I am Joseph Ward, and rocking with me on the outside is Patrick. Look at me with my glasses on, scratching my forehead. Or what up?
Already though, you already though.
Really going down in the south, in the upper north south. Where you at?
Upper north south. I'm in the lower north south.
Well, you upper than me.
Yeah, but it's the north, but I'm in the lower part of the northern south.
Not to me.
Southern part of the northern south.
Not to Florida. We different.
No, y'all is Florida is the southern part. Florida is the southern south.
Yeah. Let it marinate. Let it marinate. Hey, man, y'all know, remember that Freedom Train podcast series is brought to you by PAX Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PAX Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with a trace of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure you visit their website at www.pactsinc.org. That way you learn more about the organization, how to become a member, how to donate, how to get involved in the initiatives and programs they have. Also, there's a Learning Center tab. If you're on your computer, hover your mouse over it. If you're on your phone, click the drop-down box, and you'll see a number of resources available there for you to learn and implement. You also support them in their store tab, as well as through the Amazon Smile program, which is a program set up to help you support your favorite nonprofit organization. So type in AmazonSmile.com. Damn, it's the same thing as the regular Amazon website, but the only thing is when you buy something through Amazon Smile, a portion of your proceeds go to the specific organization that you choose, which most likely should be PAX Inc., which is PACTSINC. So make sure you visit the website www.pactsinc.org, because you can't access Amazon Smile through the PAX Inc. website, or you can type in AmazonSmile.com, but check out the website anyway. Then go to our Freedom Train website, www.freedomtrainradio.com. You'll learn more about myself, Patrick, Shelby Davis, Enigma September, and Queen Candace, and Cliff J. Everybody we got going down, and we got new shows on the horizon as well. So, man, this thing is growing, and make sure you learn more about us and be able to support the various shows or the total network that we got going on. And once again, that website is www.freedomtrainradio.com. And you can also support me at onlyfans.com/. I'm just playing. Yeah. The ambulance out there, Pat. You better run.
Yeah. They always making an appearance every day.
Hey, ambulance. How old was you? How old was you when you realized it was ambulance and not ambulance?
Probably when I was 10 years old and I read it in a book. And I said, that's not spelled right.
Ambulance. Said,
no, you don't say it correctly.
Yeah, ain't no lamps. It's a lance.
And I was like, well, it ain't no B in it neither, the way we say it. Ambulance.
It ain't no B-A. It's a B-U.
Nah, so, cause my family group, like we say, amber lamps. Uh huh.
See, I used to always say amber lamps.
Nah, see, you have more city blood than you, I guess.
Yeah, I
hang around them city boys too much.
You're still using the original letters and shit. Yeah.
Ah, bro, we didn't change that shit all the way up. Ambulance.
Hey, man, so we got three topics for y'all today that we're covering. And these are topics that we were debating on whether we should cover them. And we said, man, you know what? Let's just cover them. Let's just cover them, kind of give our thoughts and things as we go about our podcasting duty to cover what's going on in the world. Since we were the first podcast to break the coronavirus to the world, we decide we do want to kind of keep up with it. So three things we're talking about, just kind of look in on the Derek Chauvin case, see where we are with that case and what's going on. And if you don't know, Derek Chauvin is the officer who murdered George Floyd. Dr. Fauci and other people are expecting the fourth wave. I'm in Florida, so that's why I say second, because we're still in our first wave. But Dr. Fauci and people are expecting a fourth wave. But Fauci is also saying that due to vaccinations, he doesn't expect the fourth wave to be as severe as the first three waves, even though in Florida, we're still in our first wave. So, and I'm going to talk about Asian hate crimes and look at some statistics and just talk about the what's going on right now in America surrounding Asian hate crimes. So that's what we're covering today on this Freedom Train podcast series. All right, Patrick.
Nah, Joe, you talking about that. I told you I was going to be talking about why I don't want to be talking about this stuff.
Well, tell them why you don't want to talk about
it. Well, which one are we starting with?
Start with Derek Chauvin. Why you don't want to talk about Chauvin?
Why you don't want to talk about Chauvin?
You said it. So say why you don't want to talk about it.
Because I'm going to be honest with you. Can I be honest on the Freedom Train Network?
No.
Can I be honest? No.
Nah, if it's one place you can't be honest, it's here.
All right. Well, I'm a bullshit then. You know, this trial is very important because, you know, if this officer gets penalized, arrested, convicted, put to jail, sent to jail, or anything like that, it's going to show black people everywhere that the system cares. It's going to be a monumental global change. There's going to be a breakdown in the blue wall. And black people are going to, for the first time in a long time, truly feel like we belong to American society. And America is going to honestly be able to say that it's living up to its creed. And that's why this is important. But more importantly, it'll be nice to be able to point little black kids to this trial and say, see, the law does care about you. You know, if somebody mistreats you, you can call the cops and they'll go to jail. If somebody murders you,
all right, let me just stop. All right, you can stop lying to the people. I just, all right, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, no. So basically the exact opposite of that is how I feel.
I couldn't take no more. No, it's just on my face. Like, yeah, this guy. Man, look, all right, so. When I was washing clothes the other day at the wash house, yes, I did say the wash house. Not the actual trial, but reports surrounding the trial was on. And what I did hear was, I guess, superiors within the particular department that Chauvin works in saying that the methods he used are not prescribed, they're not supported, they're not recommended, even though Chauvin's defense lawyer is saying that, or, you know, Chauvin's corner is saying that this is what they teach, but the actual superiors in the department saying, well, this is not what we teach. So that's one thing. Another thing, what I was reading with the doctors, the medical examiners and the pulmonologists and all the people saying he died of positional asphyxiation. He didn't die from the methamphetamine or the fentanyl in the system, which the police officer or the defense of the police officer is saying. So it looks like Chauvin's lawyers are getting their ass whooped right now. But is that going to turn into a real or substantial conviction? We don't know. So, I mean, and we can't remember now, we can't just get excited about convictions because if convictions were something to just get excited about, we wouldn't be here after Amber Geiger. This wouldn't have happened. So,
I mean, like I said, this trial, grand scheme of things, means absolutely nothing.
Explain yourself.
We're not learning any new information that we didn't have before the trial. The defense is exactly what we thought it was going to be. And conviction or being let off free, a non-conviction, is not really going to change anything either way. Like, can anybody point me to a real change that would happen as a result of this conviction?
And you mean systematic change where stuff like this don't happen?
Yeah.
Well, no, I get you. It's not going to lead to any real systematic change or any. It's not going to lead to. It shouldn't lead to Black people feeling safe or gaining any trust in law enforcement. But it will be the conviction of one person, which should happen. But I mean, overall, we want systematic change. But we understand well enough that this is not going to bring it about. We've been here before.
Several times.
So the question is, when this trial is, let's say he is convicted and found guilty and does time, how do we get to a point to where, okay, we no longer have to worry about death by police or police terror anymore?
And that's where I say, in the grand scheme of things, this trial has no meaning outside of the social drama, the societal drama that it brings. It's a reality TV show right now.
Of course. The OJ Simpson trial was.
So, and even to the, like, I've been following it, but I haven't really been like sitting back watching it, because it feels like some sort of sick torture game. Like, you know what I'm saying? Getting, it's like sitting in a room and somebody constantly playing back your L's over and over and over again.
Yeah. I haven't been watching it. To be honest, I haven't really been. If it's not on Netflix or Amazon Prime, I'm gonna be real, man. I haven't really been watching it. I haven't really been watching a lot of things outside of, well, YouTube. I watch YouTube mostly, because honestly, my main focus is just taking care of my health, my mind, my wealth, and my family and stuff, and, you know, making sure my community is straight. So I haven't really been having fun. I haven't really been seeking entertainment and things. I kind of been just locked in on what I'm doing. Like I say, I have like news apps. So I get my alerts, I get my notifications, and I skim things and I look at things. I know what's going on in the world. I haven't sat down to watch stuff, but I know what's going on in the world. And, you know, I see where we are with this trial. And like I say, look, the defense looks weak. I don't think anybody from the jump, with the nature of this case and just the footage and stuff that we had, I don't think anybody was like, well, I don't know if he won't get convicted. For me, it's not a matter of will he or won't he get convicted. It's more so, what's the time and what's the overall effect on the police departments? What are the changes? Then we get wasn't the George Floyd law passed?
There was a couple of them passed on the state levels.
Couple George Floyd laws?
On state levels, there were, well, I don't know that they were passed. I know that there were a couple of them brought to the limelight, various different states with various different laws. That, and even with the laws, my thing is always like, the thing that a lot of these laws are bringing to the books are already in the books. They're just not being enforced.
Yeah, we talked about that before.
We did, and we have to keep talking about it, because every time somebody bring forth the law, somebody get excited and be like, this law is going to create change. And it's like, no, that law is basically redoing what's already been done. So I don't know. Like I said, when we were talking about topics, like I said, to me, it was, this is something that everybody's talking about. And so, like I said, this is why I don't want to talk about it, because it's meaningless. It's pointless. It makes no, it's not going to move the needle one way or another. And I challenge anybody to come to me and prove, show me where a conviction or a non-conviction is going to mean anything in the grand scheme of things.
I wouldn't. So I get what you're saying when you're saying it's meaningless on the grand scheme of thing in the larger scale, the larger communal scale. But, you know, for George Floyd, for his loved ones, friends and family and things, that's where the meaning will go. Maybe on some level in the city he was in, maybe. But I would say the meaning will go more so towards friends, family, loved ones and things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I'm not trying to take anything
away. No, I know what you're saying, but that's what I'm saying, what I'm saying. Because on the grand scheme of things, like I said, we've been here before when where we've taken a white police officer to trial for murdering a black person. And let's say the white officer does get convicted. But once again, think about what we are talking about right now. We're talking about this again because on a grand scheme, on a national level, on a cultural level, on a systematic level, nothing changed. The blue wall is still the blue wall.
Right.
The system is still the system. So.
Right. That's all I'm saying. So.
I do encourage people to, you know, at least pay attention to what's going on. I'm not saying you got to sit down and watch the trial, but at least pay attention to things that's going on. Know what's going on in the world more so than you know what's going on in entertainment. If you know more about entertainment than you do in the world, you're going to be, trust me, you're going to be behind. Like, the way the world is going, the way that things are moving, technology-wise and all these things, a lot of folks finna be behind. A lot of folks finna be left out, and they're going to be mad.
Yeah, well, you know, entertainment, people ain't going to stop following entertainment.
All right, because, hey, man, look, spatial reality is coming. I know you know about it, but spatial reality is coming. And most of y'all can't work y'all phones. So, I'm saying that because we're going to have to be on top of tech. Us mastering technology is another defense mechanism that we can have to fight white supremacy. Us mastering our economics, us mastering ourselves and our discipline, us actually really acting like a community, because if we can use technology better than our oppressors, and we can find a way to use it for ourselves to really help us, come on, man, that's a step further away from the way we feel right now, from the way we live right now. Things can actually change. Like, the future can actually be different if we really want it to be. If we really want the future to be different, it could be different, but it's on us. So ain't nobody going to change nothing for us. So. Yeah. But, you know, that's what's going on in the Derek Chauvin trial. He need his ass whooped. The fact, you know, Buddy acting like he didn't know. He knew what was going on. So, yeah, he need his ass whooped.
I mean, so, everybody full of shit, because the police officer full of shit too, talking about that's not how they train. But anyways, moving on.
I mean, no, that's tell us how you feel.
No, I mean, it is what it is. They're trained to eliminate the threat. I mean, George Floyd in that moment was seen as a threat. He was being detained, and in that moment, that officer was using what he felt like was the best maneuver to detain him. and he was worried. He was more worried about eliminating the threat and detaining the potential threat than he was worried about the life of the threat. And he was more worried about making it home to his family than he was about making sure that this member of the community that he's supposed to be protecting and serving made it home to his community.
So what you're saying is if you're a police officer, you shouldn't. You getting home to your own family should be a concern while you're on the clock. That's what you're saying.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Because look, in the military, and I did, you know, like I'm a veteran or whatever. And one of the things that they drive home is that you potentially don't get to go home so that everybody else can be home. Firefighters understand this. You run into a burning building so that other people that are in that building or that are around that building can go home. You potentially sacrifice your ability to go home so that other people can go home. Cops are the only people that are in this service industry where they're dealing with life or death situations where we tolerate them saying, I'm trying to go home to my family. Like, you shouldn't be a cop.
Well, I've been telling people that for the longest. I remember having a conversation with a young lady who she was like, if her father was a cop, she would want him to make it home. But I'm like, yeah, but your daddy shouldn't be a cop, though.
Right.
Like, no matter, cause of course you want him to make it home because that's your daddy. But guess what? You signed up to be, this is the job you signed up. You signed up to put your life on the line to keep people safe. That's literally what you signed up for.
Right. Like, the only time I feel like a cop is justified in using lethal force is when somebody is fixing to use lethal force to take out another member of the community.
Yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise, if it's just you and that person there, y'all better get good at your ninjutsu, your hand-to-hand combat skills.
Well, we know police officers know how to do that when they're dealing with people who look like them, especially if they're white. They know how to do it. When it comes to white people, for some reason, you know, white people end up alive. Yeah. White people go home alive. Whether they
masters of de-escalation and everything.
Right. Whether they mass killers or not, white people go home alive. But magically, the switch is flipped when it comes to black people. And, you know. But what I tell people, though, for me, not promoting, no type of whatever, but I'm just saying, we all know that there are a section of black people who they claim they're killers. They claim they'll take anybody out. They claim they ain't scared of death. They claim that they ain't scared to go into jail. That's what they do. They live for this thugging. I'm just saying, where they at when stuff like this happens? Like those should be the people who was like, all right, well, this is where I come in and do my job. But that's just me.
All them people can miss me because Zimmerman's still walking around.
I mean, look, I'm not to say no names, but
I'm going to say names.
George Zimmerman is still walking around, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I get where we are with wanting to eliminate systematic oppression and police violence and police terror. But what I am saying is, when black people harm black people, we find a way to have retribution and retaliation. But when white people or others harm black people, we find a way to be very, very, very forgiving and forgetting. And, oh man, that ain't my fight. But when it comes to ourselves, we can find, I can find somebody to go handle my lightweight. And that to me make me wonder, like, some of these dudes, if I can, like, I don't have a friend that good. I've never been friends that well with somebody that they can call me up and like, hey man, why don't you go murder somebody for me? And I'm like, all right, and just do it. Nah, we ain't that good of friends. That made me wonder about some of these dudes. Like what's the real level of y'all friendship? Like what got y'all to this level? What really happened?
Bro, that's something else.
I'm the infatuation.
Is that
Red Shoe Diary softcore?
That's something deeper than friendship. because a real friend wouldn't ask you to do no shit like that anyways.
I'm just saying, I put in work for you, B. Did you put in work for him or
to him? Like, hey, that's deeper than friendship.
Hey, anyway, can we know? Let's move on. Because let's move on so we can kind of squeeze this in for time run out on us. I live in Florida, Tallahassee, Florida, to be exact. And people outside of Florida keep saying they expect us to maybe hit a fourth wave. The us is here in Florida. We like, it's a, we thought we were still in the first wave. Because it ain't slowed down a bit. So, but around the country, people are expecting a fourth wave. So we have a fourth wave that's being expected. We have various mutations that are popping up. And then we got the vaccinations going on. So, Pat, let's start off with why you didn't want to talk about this.
Because, you know, we've been talking about COVID longer than anybody for like the last year, right?
I mean, we are the podcast who broke the story on COVID for the world.
So for the whole world, we gonna wear that.
I mean, find me a podcast that was talking about COVID before January 21st, and I take that back.
Not
January 21st, 2020.
No, I mean, for me, it's just like, look, right? People ain't been taking it serious for a whole year and some change.
Right.
Wave after wave after wave. Variant after variant after variant. Death after death after restriction after restriction after whatever, whatever, whatever. People ain't taking it seriously. So I'm kind of at the point now with COVID where I'm like, what the fuck is the point? You know what I'm saying? Like I'm going to still keep up with it. And even still with that, we're still dealing with the same rumors,
5G,
misunderstandings. You know what I'm saying? The same myths been circulating since early March or late March.
Oh, 5G real though. That shit
they
real though.
Still circulating now. They've been disproven over and over and over again, and they still exist. So it's kind of like, why keep talking about this?
I mean, of course, we know it's been beat in the ground because it's been around so long. I think, in my opinion, I think we should know where it's at. We should know where we at. It shouldn't be a constant topic of conversation. But every now and then, we should pop in and know where it's at, updates and stuff, because of the reasons you just said. Because the virus is still spreading. I think I was reading and they were saying in Michigan they're having 5,000 cases a day.
Michigan's having a huge surge right now.
Yeah, in the Northeast they're having a huge surge. I mean, so think about it. Like here in Florida, people have never followed anything. And then Texas and Mississippi, they're like, all right, y'all can go outside. You don't have to worry about social distancing or a mask. Like I just went and picked up some food from a restaurant here. That bitch packed. I'm talking about packed. People sitting up under each other. Like folk are not wearing, like in this city. When Friday, when I leave one of my buildings and go to the other building, everybody can tell you exactly Friday at 5 o'clock. If we go through FSU campus, you want to know exactly what we're going to see every Friday at 5 o'clock? We're going to see a line of about 300 white kids with no mask on, packed up in the line to get into a club. Same club that they go to every Friday. When we go to the gas station, no mask. When we're just out in the communities, people not want to wear masks. It's crazy. And then you got, oh, that's on one end, and then on the other end, people don't want to get vaccinated.
Right.
So, I mean, black people are going to have to make a choice at some point,
though. I mean, not making the choice is making the choice. They choosing to die. They choosing to get sick. They choosing to be at the mercy of whatever.
Because, I mean, the vaccine is being pushed. I don't agree with pushing the vaccine on the black community. But I understand, we all understand why the vaccine is being pushed on the black community, because of the severity and just the prevalence of health disparities in the black community.
But my thing is, like, and I've been saying this from the beginning, whether you get vaccinated or not, that's a personal decision. I don't have the expertise to advise one way or the other. And honestly, you do what's best for you one way or the other. But if you're not going to get vaccinated, you need to take the proper precautions. And even if you do get vaccinated, that don't mean that you can just go back to living your life like it's golden. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean,
Yeah. You can still pass the virus with the vaccine.
Right. And some of them, you can still get it. It just won't be as severe.
Yeah, they're having so many mutations of the virus that it's not, the vaccine isn't covering all strands of the virus. So people do need to understand that.
And we've talked in previous shows about why there are so many mutations popping up now. Every time the vaccine, every time the virus gets a chance to replicate, it's a chance for a new mutation.
I mean, hell, as rapidly as it's passing, it's being passed from one person to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. I mean, like, they keep, like, mass gatherings keep happening.
I mean, before we started recording, having the goddamn block party right across the street.
Man, they just had the Kodak Black concert here. I mean, mass gatherings are happening. People are more concerned with getting money right now than getting rid of, because if we get rid of COVID, everybody can get more money.
But I think COVID has also become a challenge, because you're hearing a lot of people talking about, you know, I love COVID because it forced me to be a hustler.
But guess what? And not to cut you off, my bad.
No, I was done. Go ahead.
But like we said last week, don't get caught up in what you see on social media. That's, look at the numbers. That's not the majority of people. The majority of people are hurting because of COVID. Yes, hell, I've had success during COVID. My net worth has increased during COVID. I've had things that gotten a whole lot better during COVID. But that's me. Most of the people that live around me that I know, a lot of people that I know that hurt, they're not doing well. They're not doing good. COVID is affecting Black America in a negative way. And don't let the people on social media fool you. Everybody not living like that. It's not, because you got to think about, if a person got 300,000 followers, if that one person who has the 300,000 followers are doing good, so what's the condition of 300,000 people?
People ain't thinking about it like that. And I'm sure some y'all can probably still hear the remnants of the party going on in my background.
Yeah.
But people ain't thinking about it like that, because, you know, even when we talk about, like, YouTube, people tend to look at the one, mm-hmm. the talking head, and they look at the million people following this one person as if that's one person too. But the concept that for this one person to be where they are, they had to do better than millions of other people. that seems to be a lost concept. Everybody thinks, well, if they could do it, I could do it. No, that is not how life works.
I mean, that's the idea and the motivation and the inspiration, but is it the actualization?
But I mean, I think honestly, that's part of the problem. People get motivated by bullshit. They get inspired by foolishness. Like, if I see you, if you eating good motivates me to go eat, to go do something to eat good, that's not a good source of motivation because it's not internal. What happens if the next time I see you, you doing bad? You were my motivation to go be successful. Now you are not being successful anymore. What does that do to me? That's tied my structure and my self-belief to your success. Like, well, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you know how I feel about motivational speakers, but yeah. I mean, you have to do more than just feel good. But see, the thing about it is, like, because it makes me think about, like, with this COVID and vaccines, because I'm seeing a lot of people on social media that I know who don't do no type of reading or research on the damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they are anti-vaccine because everybody else that they know who they feel is smart. Right. But a lot of people that I've been talking to who are pro-black and who were anti-vaccine are now like, hey, man, I think I'm thinking about this vaccine. And they're like, what do you think? And I'm like, look, bro, I'm vaccinated. Because a lot of other people that I know who are pro-black, who are conscious, very intelligent, who up to this point be like, man, fuck the vaccine. They are seeing like, hey, man, it's not safe out here. Like, people really don't care about themselves or others. People are willing to die to go have fun. And so they're thinking about their own personal safety. They think about their well-being, their family and things. And like, hey, bro, well, what do you think? And I'm like, look, I'm not going to tell you to get it. I'm not going to tell you not to get it. But if you ask me why I got it because I'm around the virus. As a matter of fact, I've been around the virus since the beginning. When you talk about essential workers, I've been on the ground level essential worker since last March. I've been around the virus and testing capacities. I've been around the virus and vaccination. Well, not necessarily vaccination capacity because you need to be negative to get the vaccination, but I've been around the virus in professional settings and regular settings. And it's just, I'm around the virus too much. So I made the decision to keep myself safe to get vaccinated. But what I also had, I had the privilege of being able to watch others who were vaccinated and ask questions. I ask medical professionals questions and all these things here, then make an informed decision based off my own research and observations. So, but the problem is, like I said, you got people who are like, no, bro, don't take that vaccine. I mean, I ain't mess with that vaccine, or even posting on social media telling people not to take it, but not based off their own research, but based off how they feel about it and their misconceptions of the mistreatment of black people from the medical industry. Not saying that the medical industry don't mistreat black people, but what they think is happening ain't really happening like that. They're misinformed on how it's happening. And so you see a lot of these people putting their information out and then people listening to them. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta do your own research. And I talked to you, I believe I talked to PC, I think I talked to a couple people about just having somebody to talk to about my thoughts on the vaccine, because I've been reading up and, you know, I stay into that kind of stuff anyways. But the biggest deal for me was, like what you said earlier, and I'm not vaccinated, but like I said, I've been talking about it because I can't keep my environment safe. Like, too many people around me refuse to take the shit seriously. And so you find yourself in a compromised situation. Do you stand by your guns and don't get it and potentially get COVID and have to deal with the full force of COVID? Or do you get vaccinated and deal with whatever potential side effects may come from that? But when you come into contact with COVID, you're protected. Even if you do get it, the effects of it won't be as bad.
Right.
And that's a hard situation to juggle. So that's, but you know, going from the start, this was something I was always worried about, which is why I always took the approach of never saying that I'm not going to get vaccinated. I always wanted to make sure that I never said that I wasn't going to get vaccinated. Now, I said I wouldn't be like the first person to get vaccinated. I did
right,
say that.
Right. we both said that we wanted to see what happens and wait and do some observations and some research. That's what we said.
Yeah. So, but my thing was, and my thing still is, I would rather not get vaccinated. But if I have to choose between catching COVID with protection from a vaccination and catching COVID with no protection, you know what I'm saying? That's not a hard choice for me.
Yeah, I mean, for some people, situations are different than others. Like I was telling somebody the other day, if you're not going to get the vaccine, what you need to do is you need to follow all protocols.
Yeah.
Wear your mask. Hey, you might need to double mask. Stay your ass out of mass gatherings. Anything more than 10 people, y'all need to be around. Make sure you're healthy. Take care of yourself. Like this, just the guy that I was talking to, he's a young guy, relatively healthy. So, but for the average person, the average black person in America, like relatively healthy, they not there.
Nah, I'm dealing with obesity, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, heart disease, diabetes, asthma.
I mean, it's a lot of things that people are dealing with, man, that I don't know. Like I know a person right now that he needs to take the vaccine because of what the procedure he just had. Because if he get COVID, he done. But the mindset is, I don't trust the medical, I don't trust the medical industry. I don't trust this. I don't trust that. Even though I just had a major procedure on me by the medical industry. And that's the stuff I don't get. They were just in your body. They just had their hands in your body. Right. And you still anti-vaccine?
Well, those people are weird to me too. Because it's if they're going to inject you with something in the vaccine and you just had major surgery, they ain't got to inject you, bro. It's already in there.
That's what everything, like, bro, they just put something in you. They just had their hands in you. And you like, nah, I'm cool on the vaccine.
But we talk about this all the time, though. Like, logic, people don't utilize it. Common sense, people don't utilize it. Now, you know what, though? I'm gonna give Professor Carlton Jones PC a shout out right here, because when he say he don't trust the medical establishment, buddy don't go to the doctor for shit.
Right. Everything I'm cool with that.
Like home remedy. Everything is I'm gonna figure this shit out.
But that's not hypocritical though. That's logical. I'm cool. I have no issue with that. Have none. But I am looking sideways at the people who, when it comes to this vaccine, they're like, I don't trust the medical industry. But whenever something bad happens, you run into the doctor.
Yeah, they taking their goddamn insulin shots every day.
I mean, but that's selective distrust though. Like they don't even get the dissonance in that.
Nah, because congruency is not a big deal for people. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not a major thing. Because one of the other things I applaud PC for while I'm thinking about it is PC's been doing what he needs to do to get his health together.
Right.
He's been working out. He's been eating better. He's been doing what he can to drop the weight. So it's not just like I'm going to rely on these herbal remedies and shit. No, I'm going to also get my health together. But I'm with you on that, because I know a lot of people that I know women that just had babies that was like, I'm not going to get the vaccine. They got epidurals when they had a baby.
And they had IVs in you.
Right.
They had to get the baby shots.
So you got a whole needle placed in your spinal cord to deaden the nerves so that you can have a baby. But you won't let them stick a little ass needle in your arm?
Look. And don't get it twisted. We're not advocating for the virus. All we're saying is make it make sense. Whatever logic you go with, just make it make sense.
Be congruent, man. If you're going to distrust something, distrust it all the way.
Right. Don't halfway distrust the medical industry in this case. But when your life is actually on the line, now you trust it. Sure.
Right. Right.
That is when people are like, man, I'm conspiracy theorists. I'm like, yeah, me too. But the difference between me and you is I read. You just go off of what other people say. So, and you're not really a conspiracy theorist. You just a follower.
Yeah. Because most of the shit people call a conspiracy is not a conspiracy. Like, the shit is right out. It's either right out in the open or you don't know what the hell you're talking about. And it's not true.
Back in my day, when people were conspiracy theorists, they were one of the main books they read was To Behold a Pale Horse. But guess what? Like I said, back in my day when people were conspiracy theorists, they read.
Yeah, they read a lot.
Because they wanted to prove that their theory was correct.
And they would throw a bunch of information at you all at once with sources.
But, you know, that's just back in nowadays.
Yeah, right. Nowadays, you watch 2 5-minute YouTube videos and you're an expert.
Yeah.
And the YouTube videos don't have no sources.
At all. Even though people can put the sources in their descriptions. But
oh, yeah.
They don't.
They don't even say sources when they be talking. They just be like, does that make sense? And I'll be like,
no.
Nothing you saying makes sense.
No.
But where are your sources? Yeah. Where's the context?
Yeah.
But anyways.
You know, coronavirus ain't real. 5G caused coronavirus. If you take the vaccine, you may get X-Men powers.
That's motivation to take it. Well, depending on what power you get.
If you get Jubilee powers, nobody.
It's some power I want. Oh, it's like the dude who his power was to turn his skin turned into like thousands of needles.
Yeah.
That's a whack ass power.
Or just like the beast, you just turn to a damn beast.
Yeah, well, I mean, his appearance, but his physical attributes was dope. It was some lame powers out there, though.
Yeah.
Like Toad who turned into a frog or some shit.
Give me rogue powers. I either want rogue or Phoenix.
You can't. Come on, Joe. You talking Phoenix Force? Really?
Hey, well, give me rogue power. I can touch you and take your powers. Yeah, and I can fly and I'm strong.
She can't fly and be strong until she sucked out somebody that could fly and sucked out somebody that was strong and killed them. Joe, don't you like fucking them?
What?
You can't have rogue powers because you can't fuck nobody.
I can turn them on and turn them off. I'm black. She ain't have enough melanin in her to turn them on and turn them off. I do.
All right.
Hey, man. All right. So last thing we wanted to cover was people talk about Asian hate crimes and stuff in America. So start how we been started. Pat, why you ain't want to talk about this?
I mean, honestly, I feel like this might be a whole show in and of itself, and I'm probably say a lot of shit that people are going to misunderstand or misconstrue. But honestly, I just feel like it ain't got shit to do with black folk. Like, we have our own problems and our own challenges, and we don't have the time right now to be playing Captain Save-A-Hole with other people.
Well, I think with this is where people's half-ass study of Dr. Martin Luther King comes in. And I'm going to say it again so people make sure they heard what I said. This comes in for people's half-assed study of Dr. King. At one point, Dr. King was talking about, you know, in order to have justice for one, we need to have justice for all, and we need to fight for everybody. And then he realized that he was fighting for something that wasn't true, and he integrated his people into a burning building. There's actual video of him talking about how he realized that what he was fighting for wasn't necessarily what black people needed, and black people needed to concentrate on black people. And we needed to lift ourselves up and to what we're all talking about, be able to self-actualize as a people and build ourselves as a people before we can even think about being an ally for anybody else. Because we don't owe the Asian community or any other community allyship.
Especially not the Asian community.
I mean,
that sounded real salty to say it, but I mean, I said it now.
But we've had beef with the Asian community, and we've more so been on the end of the
victim. Kick, man.
Yeah. I mean, because you know there was a video it was a black guy who he was a bitch boy. He kicked the old Asian lady in the stomach and assaulted and stomped the old Asian lady. Nobody agrees with that.
Yeah,
nobody agrees. He's a first class fuck boy for that. Like no real man, no real one, whatever agrees with that. But that's not the personification of what's going on. Because people are trying to spin stories like that and say that there's a long history of black owned Asian hate and crimes and stuff. And it's like, well, no, that's not true. So.
Yeah, no, there's a long history of Asians taking advantage of being the model minority. And even when they got to America before the model minority stigma was placed on them, there was a lot of work to be done to differentiate themselves from the other minority groups in America. And their own writers, their own historical writers talk about these things. So, no, we don't owe them nothing. It's not our job to come and save everybody that is experiencing oppression in America. It's not our job to be the universal background for oppression in America, which is a lot right. of people like to try to put that tag on us. Well, you black, you should know what it's like. I do know what it's like. I also know what it's like to struggle with it by myself. And then when you get a small taste of it, you want me to come save you.
Now, there's been a rise. There has, from the information and statistics that I've looked at, there has been a rise in Asian-related hate crimes over the past 3 years. Now, but we have to also look at correlation, though. There's a rise in the Asian population. And being that there's a rise in the Asian population, meaning that Asians will more so be living in environments with other groups of people, mainly white folk.
Yeah.
And when you come in contact with other groups of people, mainly white people, racist white people, you're going to have an uptick in Asian-related crimes. Now, according to the FBI, though, when it comes to hate crimes by race or the race that's more victimized by hate crimes, they said 48.8% of the hate crimes were motivated by anti-black or African-American bias.
Yeah.
15%. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, finish what you're saying.
Go ahead. You were reading numbers. That's important.
Saying 15.8% is stemmed from anti-white bias. 14.1% were classified as anti-Hispanic or Latino bias. 4.3% resulted from anti-Asian bias. 3.6% were the result of bias against groups of individuals consisting of more than one race. 2.6% were anti-American Indian or Alaskan Native. 2.6% were classified as anti-Arab bias. 0.5%, or 25 offenses specifically were motivated by the bias of anti-Native Hawaiian and other Pacific Islanders. 8.2% were the result of anti-other race, ethnic, ancestry bias. So even though, because there are a lot of people in the media, a lot of black people in the media, a lot of media pundits who are out trying to make it seem like, especially when it comes to black on Asian, that there's an all-out assault against Asian people by black people, which is untrue. Like, when people encounter each other, you're going to have incidents, but that doesn't mean that black people are just going out assaulting Asian people or black people are looking for Asian people, all these things. Like, most black people not even around Asian people like that.
Unless we go into their hair care stores, and they're usually abusing us in there.
Right.
I mean, I just feel like this narrative that black people have to relate to and save everybody that's going through a tough time in America is foolishness. And I know there are a lot of people that are going to disagree with that. And like I said, this might need to be a show on its own, because I'm also not trying to drag this shit out. But I said what I said and I stand by what I said. Now, I don't agree with the violence and the other things that the Asian community is experiencing right now. You know, I'm not championing. I don't think it should be happening. I just don't feel like it's my fight. It's not my energy. And I'm going to feel like that until one of these so-called allies decides to really be an ally. Because black people are still getting their ass kicked too. So I'm getting my ass kicked. I'm supposed to, while I'm getting my ass kicked, get up and help you fight?
Nah. Well, I mean, I think, once again, going back, once people got Dr. King's message mixed up, but if the obligation is on black people to be an ally to everybody else, then the obligation is also on everybody else to be an ally to black people in the same manner that we are allies to them. Because every other group of, like one of the things is, when the Asian hate stuff first started, and you got a lot of black people on social media saying, hey, we don't have to be allies for Asian people. Asian people never stand up for us. They're never there. And so you got a couple black people. It's always black people. These we are the world as black people. Mm-hmm. Who, when the George Floyd protests happened, they showed pictures of Asians out. And I'm like, okay. So the score is 1,000,000 to 1. That doesn't make you an ally. So you decide to come out when everybody else comes. Okay. All right. But where are you now? Because we still being killed by the police. So where are you now?
And where that George Floyd shit stopped being about black people within the first week of it going down. So I don't even consider anybody that took part in that to be showcasing support or solidarity for black people. Because that turned into a rebirth of a whole bunch of other movements from the from the 2010s that ain't really have nothing to do with black people. A bunch of economic movements, a bunch of social movements, a bunch of all of these other movements that saw what was happening with George Floyd and jumped on board. It really didn't even get a chance to be developed as a black equality movement. So I don't even, when I see people talking about, you know, I was there and I was at the protest with George Floyd because I support black people, I'm like, yeah.
But the problems with black people didn't start with George Floyd. So where were you before then? Because you can't just show up when it's popular to show up. Show up when we every time we need your help. That's the thing that people don't get is you have being an ally doesn't mean I showed up once.
Mm-hmm.
Like the people I marched with Dr. King one time. So what have you done for black people since then? What have you done as a white person to help end oppression against white people? I mean, yeah, again, end oppression against black people to fight the system of white supremacy. What have you done since you have stuff to lose? Bernie Sanders.
Well, I knew you was getting at Bernie Sanders, but I go back to the simple point of, so what, you was out there when George Floyd got killed. Who were you really out there for, though? Because it was a lot of white people out there weren't giving a second thought to black folk. They was out there for their own issues.
They're photo ops.
Right. And how many times will we read in various national papers and stuff like that where people were saying it's time to expand it to be bigger than just black issues? Like that was, those articles started coming out 2 or 3 days after George Floyd was killed. So were you one of these groups?
But I mean, to reiterate, nobody is condoning or championing any hate against any other person. But it's disingenuous, and I don't know how many times we've said this on this podcast over the various years. It's disingenuous to ask somebody to be an ally when you know damn well you've been a half-assed ally to them, and when you know damn well nobody has given this group of people a chance to just take care of their damn selves. When can we just concentrate on us and take care of the issues that we've had because of everybody else? Because wouldn't you want your ally to be at full strength? I'm just saying. So, I'm an ally. I'm a nation that's an ally to you. My army has 10 people because we were just devastated. We just went through 400 years of fucked up. And we devastated. We got an army of 10 people. And you finna fight an army of 100,000 and you got 30,000. So now you got 30,010. Y'all ready to lose? Yeah, even in the 300 movie, even though they exaggerate the hell out of the battle at Thermopylae, they got their ass whooped.
They did lose. They did lose.
Ain't no way in hell 300 people gonna hold up that many goddamn soldiers that damn long. But anyway,
They made a good stand considering the numbers. But historically speaking, they still got their ass whooped.
They got crushed, and it didn't last that long. but I mean, it's I think Asian people have to be honest with themselves as well. As citizens in America and as people of color in America, you're going to experience hate in a country that was built on hate.
Asian people know that. They're honest. They're playing the game. And I can say that because I've been reading a lot of books written by Asian authors talking about the social issues in America.
Mm-hmm.
They know what's going on. They're just trying to find a good place for themselves in it. And I can't even be mad at that. Like, that's not me attacking them or anything like that. Because that's the culturally smart thing to do.
Well, yeah, they making their move because the battle for second place is on. Because, hell, black people clearly don't want to be in the fight because we just out here. So the battle for second place between the Hispanics, Latinos, and the Asians is on. So the Asians got to make their move. Because we want to be fourth, fifth, and sixth.
Yeah. So,
hey, man, look. But, not to beat a dead horse down because we made our points. We said what we had to say. And for anybody in the comments, I'm going to go ahead and say it now. We said what we said. Don't try to reinterpret what we said. Don't try to misconstrue what we said. If you have
I do that with what I said because I find it entertaining.
Yeah, all I'm saying is if you really want to get clarity on what we say in the comments, just ask us for clarity. Don't try to interpret anything. But shout out to all the commenters, though. So that was our show today, man. Make them say, three topics that we talked about that we really didn't want to talk about. What we talked about, because there was talk about them, but we didn't really want to talk about, but we talked about them. So that happened.
Yeah.
So www.freedomtrainradio.com is the website where we get down to stay down to be down. That's our digital home, our digital real estate. Man, make sure y'all wash properly, wash your hands, put your mask on, stay out of the crowd, stay out of this Rona, and stay healthy. So with that being said, I'm Joe. He's Pat. He's throwing up the A sign.
Peace up. Freedom Train.
Freedom Train. Hey, I thought he was doing peace up A town down, but Freedom Train up, radio down. We out.